Welcome, friends, to the God Friended Me podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Good day, Pete.
Good day, Matt. Good day, everyone. The God Friended Me podcast by Fantastic Geek for episode 216, The Atheist Papers, comes your way now.
This is an episode written by Jessica Granger, directed by Aaron Richards. Pete, that's your Barbara Keene from Gotham. And this is an episode that had a 0.5 rating with 5.95 million viewers. A tick down from last week's rating, but basically equal in terms of the total number of viewers. So that seems to be kind of where we're at right now, for better or for worse.
Holding steady nonetheless. We have one more new episode coming next week. Then what's the schedule look like after that, Matt?
So new episode next week, then a week off, then back on March 29th, then one off, then back on April 12th, which would set us up for maybe one more after that to get to episode 220.
Still not seeing a firm number. I can't imagine they'd go past 20 and suddenly go to 22, but stranger things have happened. We've noted with Star Trek Discovery, they went from a 13 episode order in season one to 15. Season two was a 14 episode run after a 13 order. So yeah, we could have some adjustment, but at this point we have every reason to expect 20. Still no word on renewal, but CBS has not renewed more than one show.
Yeah, this time last year CBS was on a renewal spree, of which God Friended Me was a beneficiary. This year CBS just has not been doing that across the board. So I think the good news is it's not like, you know, everybody's going in one direction and they're not talking about God Friended Me. It seems most shows are in a similar boat. Probably the potential for a writer's strike this summer, that could be a factor. But, I mean, Pete, it's the middle of March now. The May upfronts to advertisers will probably be a pretty solid line of delineation to tell us what's being renewed and what is not.
Let's say we take a stroll through our eightfold path to enlightenment about this episode. Exterior New York City with all that snow that we haven't gotten this year. Inside Allie's bar, Miles and Arthur are happy to see Allie's feeling fine. It's business as usual. So let's talk about Corey Smith, the maybe truly true person behind the account. Exit Arthur, enter Kara and Rakesh for more info on Corey. He's had no digital profile for the last decade, but the digging will continue.
Rakesh and Miles are off to see Daryl Watkins, author and leader of the atheist movement. He's such a gosh darn inspiration, or not gosh darn inspiration, I suppose. At Catapult, Kara's getting on well with Adam, but can't talk. She's off to keep working on an account column. At Daryl Watkins' book talk, his agent Phoebe would like to talk more, but here's Daryl. He's heard the podcast, but it's not his thing, in large part because what Miles is peddling is creative fiction, this embarrassing and fake God account. I say good day, sir. Miles and Daryl likely won't ever talk again.
Ding. Miles finds out Daryl's this week's friend suggestion. At the book talk, Daryl explains how any need of the universe can be selfishly twisted into egocentrism. Ouch. As the book talk wraps up, Miles and Rakesh spy Daryl and Phoebe having words, and Miles tells Daryl about the account's suggestion. The only problem is Daryl's life is great. No problems at all. Maybe Miles and Phoebe should talk.
They do, and Phoebe explains that she's been fired. Is that how Miles can help? He's welcome to try. Cut to Kara talking to waitress Marcia, mother of Corey Smith, a selfish son who tried to outdo his absent father. Corey doesn't live in the States anymore and never talked to Mom again. Miles sees Daryl at the philosophy library. Our millennial prophet is told that the account is just another hokey name for ancient religion. Still, Miles sees Daryl as having forged the way for many who needed an atheist message.
So what's Daryl's problem? He's got no book, no way to meet his publisher's deadlines, and there's no way out of this dilemma. But how can they help? What Kara does know is that Corey's got some Department of Defense connections, and Rakesh will dig deeper. Rakesh also finds that Daryl was shaken in a debate. Is that the source of his writer's block? Rakesh and Kara see hacker Zach, whose favor is needed by Rakesh and Kara. Can't he help with a D-13 military discharge? Zach knows what the D-13 is code for.
Miles sees Valerie Lopez for more info about that debate. What happened that night? Love developed between pastor and atheist, and Daryl's never been the same again. Later at Allie's bar, Emily is confirming a date with Allie right before Daryl bursts through the door, furious. He won't cop to loving Valerie, but does admit that he's been starting to believe in God and feeling lost. Meeting Valerie changed him to his core.
So what advice will Arthur give? It's all right for Daryl to believe, and maybe Miles too. At Identity Seal, Kara tells Rakesh about her date with Adam, and Rakesh doesn't think Miles needs to know. Zach arrives with Corey Smith's discharge file. It's mostly redacted and shows Corey's posted in New York City. Emily and Allie meet up, excited to be together, excited for the future. At the philosophy library, Miles reminds Daryl to be firm in his belief and that they can work through them together. They go to see Valerie, but she's left for a mission in South America. She'll be back in 2 years. Miles is shaken. The account is supposed to help things work out. Daryl, meanwhile, can follow his lady love.
Then Miles gets a call and rushes to the hospital. Allie had passed out at the restaurant. It's probably exhaustion, but it's time for Allie to slow down. Miles goes out to talk to Emily, saying that Allie doesn't want to see her right now. Meanwhile, Kara has followed the Corey trail to a building in Brooklyn, and it's no dead end. Zach says the building is a front for DARPA, the emergent technology wing of the government. Maybe the account is an experiment. Miles and Kara are left at the table, and Kara chooses to not tell Miles about Adam. The episode concludes with Daryl on the podcast sharing news that the new book will be open to the idea that God may exist. Maybe the only difference between the God account and God is one word, account.
And now it's time to step into the confessional.
You know, Pete, I have not always been the biggest fan of this season one, get to the new truth of the account, and then the truer truth, and then this season, so on and so forth. For some reason, though, this Corey Smith injection into the story is one that resonates for me, even though it's like, wait, maybe it's Corey on his own. No, wait, maybe now it's a government experiment. I don't know why it works for me when I've been down on the, you know, pushing back of the goal line for a couple of pushes, but this one somehow works.
I feel like it's a little bit of a similar template to last year when we were closing in on Simon Hayes and everything there, except here's my concern. We've done that. Now we're building it around a new mystery person. And, you know, one is connected somehow to the other. Just how many mystery people can there be?
Well, I think you hit to the core of it, which is, though the show has made great strides, let's say in the last 4 or 5 episodes, to have exceptions to the formula, I think the formula is showing. Perhaps not week to week, because week to week the show has been upfront, like, hey, we're going to do some serial stuff, and we're also going to do the, you know, the procedural get a thing, work on the thing, work around the thing, find the thing that the account wanted all along, you know, happy ending. But that the larger season oomph feels to me, you know, to be familiar territory. Pete, you know who willing that there is a third season. Perhaps that's an opportunity to somehow really shake up, twist around, et cetera, the formula of what a season looks like for this show.
And that will be the interesting test. And, you know, I know you're saying, God willing, they are in fairly safe territory. Again, keep watching, keep talking about it. That stuff only helps. It cannot hurt. That considered, yeah, you wonder, can a third season represent enough of a departure and keep things fresh? I mean, you look too at the evolution of this show last year, the will they, won't they of Miles and Kara as an underlying through line. And now that's off to the point where Kara is dating, goes on a date with the unseen Adam in this episode.
I will disagree slightly that the non-NFL portion of this season, that the ratings are okay. I mean, to see that it went for this past Sunday, that it went toe-to-toe with similar ratings with The Simpsons' Big Little Shots, which I must confess I've never heard of before, Bob's Burgers, and Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. That's not knocking down the doors. Now, to be fair, this is a show that runs 20 episodes out of the year, and CBS needs something at 8 o'clock on Sundays 52 weeks out of the year, and when it's not this award show and that award show, you need something, and it doesn't necessarily need to be, you know, the latest, the greatest NCIS or whatever it might be. But I don't know. I'm certainly not arguing for the show's cancellation. I just, Pete, I rather like Daryl Watkins. I want to be honest and objective. And when I see 60 Minutes had a 0.8 rating and NCIS Los Angeles had a 0.6 rating, NCIS New Orleans had a 0.5 rating, and God Friend of Me had a 0.5 rating with the lowest viewers in millions of those four, that's not a great spot to be in.
It's not, but believers in this show and the production team as we are, we continue to watch it. We want to talk about it with you. We want to talk about it in general. Let's shift it back here with Corey Smith. Is it believable that someone in this day and age could have no digital footprint for the last 10 years?
I mean, I think if the statement was made, no digital footprint, no social media, no YouTube channel or something like that, or no YouTube account. Okay, to say, I believe the statement was made, not even a cell phone. I guess I have an even harder time believing that. The only exception I would give the show, and I think it's a pretty big if, is if we are on the right path that he does work for DARPA, and it is, you know, some of the highest levels of I don't know, secret, top secret stuff going on in this country. That is one way I would imagine in the world of this fiction. I don't know about the factual end, but in the world of this fiction, you want to tell me, hey, he works for DARPA. He's a secret computer spy, emerging technology guy. Okay, that I will grant you. That now is veering in fiction, veering vaguely into, you know, Men in Black territory, where all we have to do is backspace your name and now you're removed from everything.
So this D13 aspect, the potential that maybe there's a government portion to what the account is doing, that seems unique enough that we haven't been there before, whereas the Juliet code in season one, so could we square that up, that there is both a private and a military sector of these things, of the account that are intersecting, and that's how they're so able to run all the analytics?
Well, here's my response to all of that, Pete. I don't know that we could pin down showrunners, show creators, Stephen Lillian and Brian Winbrandt, to the following statement, but it does occur to me that the potential arc for these two seasons could be as follows. God exists, question mark. God is dead. Computer, you know, man exists, you know, no, government sees everything. Watch out, grand government conspiracy. I'm not saying that it's not of the times, but it is interesting to just kind of take a step back and go, you know, at the end of the pilot, it kind of was like, maybe God. And now it's like, maybe there's an oppressive app that's fooling with people's lives and able to predict, you know, predict things like when the kindly secretary at the Hispanic Brothers law firm is going to fall into a coma. Maybe this app can predict when she needs 911. Yay, government.
I mean, they've always been upfront saying that this is not an inherently religious show and that it's not going to end with God in the capital sense being behind the account. But, you know, I look at this, and for me last night, and maybe you can help me here, Matt, the idea of an atheist and, you know, an inspirational figure for Miles, I get, but, and I'm trying not to attack it from my standpoint of belief and judge it, and I don't want it to come off that way, but to refer to atheism as a movement and for Daryl Watkins' belief in not believing to be shaken, like, I don't know.
I'm reminded of when I took a philosophy course in college. Pete, perhaps I would have fit in at Philosophy Library, as mentioned in this episode. But the philosophy teacher very wryly said to, you know, a bunch of us freshmen or whatever, something along the lines of, yeah, have you ever noticed that whenever a teenager wants to prove that they're totally independent, totally unique, and totally, like, not corporate, what they do is go to Hot Topic and buy the same series of black outfits so that they can wear all black to be identified as people who can't be identified in a group, and that's their group, the unidentified group of people who wear black. You know, that's their group to prove that they're not part of a group. I think it's kind of akin to your argument here. I must confess, I've never crossed paths with someone who's kind of vehemently atheist, if vehement is not a pejorative here, and I certainly don't intend it to be necessarily, but Miles is kind of so fervently, maybe that's a better word, fervently atheist, as opposed to, hey, you know what, God, not my thing, not a believer. Okay, you know, he's kind of so fervent there, it never occurred to me that it could be its own belief system with its own philosophies, its own tropes, that sort of thing. I guess I just assumed, like, hey, if you are an atheist, then enjoy the time you have on this world and live by a moral code that gets you, makes you feel good about the here and now and not some sort of point system in the hereafter. And that's it. I never stopped to think that it required books and lectures and that sort of thing. So, Pete, if nothing else, I know the show co-created by an atheist, and I'm learning more about my fellow humanity.
And, you know, that's where I fall in terms of the perspective. You believe or don't believe whatever you want, so long as you're not harming people either way. And I think this show is very firmly planted in that. And, you know, what's the takeaway in this episode? The man that Miles admires, wants to be like, whose message found him at a difficult time in his life, he can be shaken, and Miles can help him, and it can all work out there. So, you know, the disclosure at the end, maybe it's not an account, but a count. What did you make of that?
To me, the big takeaway here is this notion from an atheist, my goodness, from this great atheist thinker in Daryl, that ironically, Daryl's initial instinct, which is this God account thing is, you know, another fictional religion. All right, let's remove the word fictional from it if Daryl's now going to have more respect for the notion of God. But that, you know, interestingly, though this is an episode that says, hey, maybe it's that building where the government has set up shop to actually genuinely, you know, do surreptitious government things. Maybe that's the technology behind it. That's how it could be so big. So I'll say pervasive, and I don't mean that necessarily negatively, but that kind of into people's lives. And then here we have Daryl, of all people, offering up the notion that maybe this is, you know, this indeed is driven by the great beyond.
Is there anything more predictive than mathematical data, though? To me, the accounting of this, okay, we send a friend suggestion out. This percent of the time, it is accepted, and then something happens. And it feels like, again, I mean, Matt, do you remember when we had episodes about the Fibonacci code?
Oh my goodness, absolutely.
Okay, so to me, it feels like all these things are adding up. There are tallies, and I could completely see where the mathematical, weighing of it becomes a Department of Defense project.
I will add, and this is something that we had texted about last night. I did not have the name for it. I've looked it up. People who think that it's completely ridiculous that somewhere in New York City there's actually a building where there's a hub for the government, look up, I guess anywhere, but look up on Wikipedia 33 Thomas Street, which was originally built for AT&T and now might be a NSA mass surveillance hub, codenamed Titan Point. Pete, me just saying that probably as we talk on Skype probably has now got Fantastic Geek a couple more listeners, so welcome, government guys and gals.
Hi, boys.
Hello. But just in case anybody was like, the least realistic thing in this episode was that they'd take some old building built for some other purpose and set up shop there. Pete, I'm going to send you the article right now. Just the way the building looks, and again, it was originally built for AT&T, so that's probably why it looks like it's from Blade Runner. But it kind of is vaguely scary to look at and go, that's where they do the spy stuff.
Well, would it be an opportune time in the podcast to talk about the return of Zach the Hacker? A fictional character?
A fictional character, indeed. Please don't put a hood over my head and take me to 33 Thomas Street to ask me about Zach the DoD hacker. I love it when this show circles back to people, because yes, they're in a city of 6-8 million people, but they exist generally in a pretty small neighborhood, you know, kind of the church neighborhood up there in Harlem, or Rakesh's work neighborhood, work family, if you will, the Catapult family. So the notion that it's easy enough to run into some people, let alone, hey, you remember Detective Ray? Hey, you remember Zach the Hacker? It makes the show come more alive. And I think maybe all cities are this way. I don't know. I remember being 18, 19. I was visiting a friend who was going to school in North Jersey. We went over to Manhattan. We're wandering around and, you know, we run into his neighbors from down the hall in his dorm room. We would just run into them on the street in Manhattan. You know, it gets kind of like big and small at the same time. And again, that's probably most cities, but most of my experience is New York City, most of my city experience. And it just felt like not just, hey, story has a guy in its pocket, we can use him for hack. It just felt authentic.
What about Kara and Adam?
I give the show a ton of credit for having it happen via dialogue. They get away tremendously with tell, not show, which is not how it's supposed to be, but it works here in part because Kara's keeping it private. The real issue is not that they went on a date. The issue is Kara doesn't know what to do next with him, with her friends, with her former boyfriend, etc. And that's where we get to see. We get to see her not tell Miles at the end of the episode. We get to see her put Rakesh in, frankly, a mean and terrible position, which is, hey, Rakesh, should I tell your best friend about my new boyfriend since he's my old boyfriend? That's some good story juice right there. And I think it's also believable. You know, do we want these two to get back together? Yeah. Has the show really convincingly made multiple explanations as to why they shouldn't be together? Absolutely. It makes sense, even though our hearts aren't in it. There's your drama right there. There's some of the best stuff going on in the show right now.
Allie's really riding a roller coaster right now. She was down at the end of the last episode. She's strong again at the beginning. She goes on the date, but she passes out. She's got this relationship with Emily, although she would seem at least to be keeping her at arm's length for fear of, you know, not getting too close with her condition. What do you make of all that?
Pete, heartbroken might be too strong, but my heart starting to break with the notion that Emily is there for her. Emily is diving in to the cup of life, though it would be easy enough to say, hey, felt this connection, felt this spark. Ooh, Cancer, right? Yeah, I'm going to go date somebody. I'm going to go try and meet another stranger that maybe I can have a connection with. Peace out. Instead, Emily is there. Emily is saying, let's enjoy things now while we can. Even in the somewhat rosy existence of this show, I don't think that the show would push it as it's true love at first sight, that sort of thing. But sometimes those sparks do catch on first sight. And I feel like the show is realistically playing in that area. I am completely smitten with them as a potential couple. And not for the normal heteronormative guy reasons of two girls, etc. To me, there's just something so charming and genuine that Allie has been alone for some time, and now in her heading into her greatest challenge in life, there's now this great gift of love. I think the actress that plays Emily brings a vivacity to that, as a realistic nature to it. I love the conflict that it's causing, even though it's causing heartbreak in me, or potential heartbreak in me, because I love this. I love the push-pull of now is the wrong time and now is the best time.
And then you have that mirrored with the couple of Daryl and Valerie.
Indeed, Pete. I think the cool kids might say that they ship Daryl and Varel. let me put it this way. I understand why Daryl is not going to be in every episode for the rest of the season. That's the nature of Godfriend and Me and Friend O the Week. Ditto, I suppose, for Valerie Lopez. I do, in other shows, in other walks of life, to say, hey, that woman I fell in love with, oh, she just moved somewhere really far away. No way out. It would seem hackneyed. We know that sometimes the spirit moves people of faith. We know that sometimes pastors go on a mission to somewhere else, become missionaries and go to another continent. We know that these things happen. We know that there's the need, there's the opportunities, etc. It's the best use of those conditions to have the convenient exit stage right for Valerie and Daryl to probably not return to the show, for him to go chase that love down in South America. Pete, the only finger wag I will give is they kind of treat South America as like, you know, somewhere in South America. You just fly to South America and go, Valerie Lopez? And they'll say, oh, no, she's over there in other South America part. To me, there's something, you know, certainly if nothing else, there's something charming of him following his lady love to another continent on her mission.
Well, let me stretch it out a little bit. The end of the first season saw Kara head off to Paris. Could the end of the second season see Miles head after Daryl to go be with his mentor in South America?
That certainly is interesting. I'll completely tongue-in-cheek suggest, Pete, you know, if Godfriend and Me is going to be on the same Sunday night bill as NCIS something and NCIS New Orleans, couldn't we have, you know, God friended me, Brazil or something like that? And couldn't, maybe this is a backdoor pilot to set up, you know, your Val and Daryl spinoff show, and they're getting the bleeps and the bloops too. Pete, it kind of writes itself. She's a pastor. He's an atheist. They're going on missions for God, question mark?
What are people saying on the horn?
Pete, we got lots of thoughts here on Twitter about the show. First one up, a two-pack from James, that's at Big Killin on Twitter. He says, the writing and acting just keep getting better. The guest stars blow me away every week. Kara dating Adam is nauseating because we've seen it coming, but it's still shocking. Who hasn't been blindsided by the obvious in affairs of the heart? James goes on to say, will we see or hear from our lovebirds in South America? Wasn't there talk of servers in Brazil last season? Were there, Pete?
I think maybe. It seems to kind of ring a bell.
So maybe the show being vague in South America. I mean, I was kidding about the whole spinoff thing, but maybe we're setting up the story spinning off in that direction as part of the main narrative. I don't know. Next one up from Peter, that's at Tweet Scala. It was really good. A very happy ending with this week's friend suggestion. Also heard from Andre Yeager, that's at Dr. Polo 1983. I hope Allie reconsiders keeping Emily in her life. I believe she really cares for her and they deserve a chance. Also, the God account is really testing Miles's faith, so to speak. If his idol can change, anything can happen. I really hope it's not some secret government project. Lastly, Pete, from Fritz Klug, that's at Fritz Klug. Stories are getting more rich for the main characters. It's great to see multiple different types of storylines unfolding concurrently. This episode elevates GFM from feel-good messages to something more theological, a door the show has been knocking on. GFM is maturing well.
Yeah, I think that the show in this second season has been able to drive these characters into the tree. We've got to see how we get them down.
Pete, driving us every week are the people who go to patreon.com/fantasticgeek, making sure that we continue to analyze and theorize about this show, about Star Trek Picard, and all the goodies that we have ahead of us. So our big thanks to all those patrons.
Everybody who contributes gets access to exclusive podcast content. Can't contribute this month with just $1 to get you in that door? Head over to Apple Podcasts. Instead, you could leave us a rating. Takes just a second. A review takes a little bit longer and helps us just as much.
All sorts of goodies there, Pete, but the best one, it's always a freebie. How can people talk to you on Twitter?
You find me on Twitter at Peter, PIETRJKETELAR, KETELAAR, 11,254 followers. Can't be wrong.
And while I'm personally on Twitter is looking back lost, do be in touch with the podcast. Comment on FantasticGeek.com. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, where we are Fantastic Geek as well. But wait, Pete, there's more.
Facebook.com/FantasticGeek with a PH, all one word, like it today.
Well, Pete, for those listening on the Pop Culture Podcast feed, we will be back on Saturday to talk Picard, episode 108, and of course back next Monday to talk the next episode of God, Friend, and Me. With that, I will say adios to all the listeners, Pete, and give you the final word.
If there were no God, there would be no atheists.